That table over there. Guys, coming up next to the stage, we have the principal and design director at Faust, a cultural branding and communication studio. This is, no surprise, Bob Faust! And an amazing shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tanner, you scared me with this offer as well. And this story is called Fear is Not Real. I grew up in a giant Italian-run family, my grandmother being the oldest of 20 kids. Imagine that, 20 kids, and she's the oldest. She and her 19 siblings were actually invited and driven from their farm in Franklin Park to the Chicago World's Fair in downtown Chicago in 1933, only to realize that when they got there, that they were actually being presented almost like a freak show, being billed as America's largest Italian-American family. Swear to God, they were fed spaghetti lunch, at an oversized table in one of the exhibition halls. And there's a photo of this that actually made Time magazine, so I know it's real. Whew. My grandmother had 7 kids of her own, each with decent-sized families, which netted me about 36 immediate cousins within a 3-mile radius that I had to find my place among. Awesome for sure, but not necessarily easy. Between this and the fact that Catholicism ruled every thought I had, put fear at the center of my early learning. No one was really trying to scare me, that's just how it was. Don't do this, otherwise Mom will be disappointed. Don't do that, otherwise Dad will be embarrassed of you. And that parlayed into me heeding almost every warning anyone ever gave me. I literally went through my early life thinking that if I swore I was going to go to hell, that if I masturbated I was going to go to hell, that if I was gay not only would I go to hell, but my life on earth would be a living one. And other irrational fears too. Fears of food. These weren't just aversions, they were full-out fears. Stupid shit like peas and corn niblets. Corn served on the cob was okay, but cut the niblets loose and I couldn't sit at the table. It was so well known among my highly competitive and super macho cousins that these foods could be used as weapons against me and to get a laugh from others. I remember one Easter, I must have been about 10. We were all sitting at a long table, 30 people at each side, the parents at one end, all the cousins at the other. I was on red alert, knowing tiny, green, potential projectiles were being served. My older cousin, Kevin, had a pile of peas on his plate. He flicked one at me, huge grin on his face. I remember watching it all happen like it was slow motion. It hurtled over my brother's plate and straight toward me. I let out the highest-pitched screech at this fancy Easter dinner. It's funny to you, right? Yes. But it was a compound living nightmare that day. The pee was one thing. The flying pee was one thing. But now this girly screech in reaction to a flying pee, it could be used to call me a baby, a sissy, or worse, a girl. I was becoming aware of how being at all effeminate could impact my acceptance in this family. All said, fear ruled my early years, and to combat this, I worked my ass off to keep situations like this far, far away from me. I thought if I did everything to be a model kid, get good grades, involve myself in clubs, play sports, I could handle the ones with balls being thrown my way. Maybe folks wouldn't notice my insecurities or make fun of my peculiarities and my differences. I thought if I could be perfect, life would be as well. And so I used practice makes perfect motto to get through life. We've all said this tonight. I got so good at being good that I believed this person I made up was actually who I was. I lived a picture-perfect life for 45 years this way. Lovely family, beautiful home, great career with tight work that was being celebrated by my peers, all attained while in full denial of who I was. This is sounding a little bit like a sad story, but it's not. I loved my life as it was, and all these fears actually helped me hone my design skills, and by particularness. They contributed to real accomplishments, relationships, and great times. In a way, practice did make perfect. Perfect in air quotes. For the podcast. But I eventually had to face that I wasn't living my truth. Perfection sidesteps truth. It lacks warmth, comes with compromised emotions, and turns its back on genuine humanness. I thought to myself, maybe the safety I was seeking in perfection could also be found by confronting fear instead of avoiding it. So I stepped into it. And that created a shitstorm, which led to a lot of extremely tough stuff, including a priest and several therapists, the former assuring me I'm not going to hell, and the latter teaching me fear is not real. That fear is only a feeling assigned to predictions of the future. It was a profound statement and has since become my daily mantra. Fear may have kept me from making mistakes, but it also kept me from making amazing shit. Today, I live an extremely different life, a very imperfect but very impactful one. I'm considerably more vulnerable in many ways, but exponentially stronger and ready for almost anything. Letting go of the idea of perfection opens the door to really big emotions and possibilities. Love is abundant and easy. Compassion comes quickly, and the work that I was doing that was always so tight, with perfect rags and beautiful headlines, I even kerned my body text. I swear to God, I kerned the body text in the words, in the text. Now exploded with a different kind of energy. I don't worry about the typographic rules I learned in high school. The trends in the industry or how another designer might judge it. I focus how I can instill an emotion in it. While I love clarity in design, high-level impact and using design to create memories trumps it every time. I trust the craft I've honed to keep me from going too far, and now claim the dual title of artist and designer, as it allows for my spirit to come through all my work, even that work for clients. All said, I'm by no means fearless, but there's a big difference. While I still can't stand speaking in front of you, that's why I'm reading, I now know the shitty things I thought you all would be saying about me after this are likely not true. From here on out, I suggest we shift the saying, practice makes perfect, to practice makes possible. And to quote a very important person in my life, step into your fears and use them as fuel. Thank you.
Man, I love it so much when we have first timers. That was amazing. If anyone says shit about you, Bob, just send them to me. It's not nice, guys. Bob did great. Why would you say those things about him? Come on. We all love each other here. It's design week of all weeks. It's holy. Is design week cool? Are you guys having a good time on design week? All right. A couple people are. Hugh Lesher. All right. That's all good.